My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure not only to welcome our listeners to the show, but to introduce the four unusual and diverse talents who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back two of the original players of the game, original in every sense of the word, that is Clement Freud and Peter Jones. We also welcome two other originals in every other sense of the word, of a different generation who have not played the game so often, and that is Tony Hawks and Fred McCauley, and would you please welcome all four of them. This particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Students' Union in the ancient Scottish University of St. Andrews, not far from the golf course. On the picturesque east coast of Fife. We are facing a very animated, excited, hyped up, indebted, and no doubt in debt student audience. As usual, I'm going to ask the four players of the game if they will speak on the subject that I will give them, and they're going to try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Elaine Wigley, who will keep the score. She'll also blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And we're going to begin the show this week with Clement Freud, and the subject is quite proper and typical St. Andrews. So, Clement, will you tell us something about St. Andrews in this game of Just a Minute, starting now?
St. Andrews is a town near Lucas, which has the railway station, a sheriff's place run by Great Eastern Region Railways, I think. And we are sitting in the Students' Union, and I saw a notice which said, "The free bus no longer runs on Saturdays." I find it distressing that such a negative notice should be held up and posted on the bar. It's like saying sausages will be served without tomato ketchup. As if somebody might suggest.
Peter Jones, you've challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think there was definite hesitation there, yes. Listen, are you going to be partisan from the word go like that? there was definite hesitation, there was certain deviation. So, Peter, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, of course. And you have 21 seconds to take over the subject of St. Andrews, starting now.
Well, St. Andrew was the patron saint of Russia. And probably still is.
Clement Freud challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was definite hesitation.
Quite right.
Clement, you have a correct challenge. You've got the subject back again. 14 seconds available. St. Andrews, starting now.
Looking out the window of my hotel bathroom, I saw the 18th hole of St. Andrews Golf Course.
Fred McCauley challenge.
Can I just ask why you've not got frosted glass in your bathroom window?
Obviously, Clement Freud especially asked for bathrooms without frosted glass.
I was actually looking in.
That was the point I was
making. He had the better view, let me tell you. More.
So, within the rules of Just a Minute, Fred, what was your challenge, do you think?
I have no reasonable challenge.
You have no reasonable challenge. I'll tell you what I'll do, Fred. You've only played the game twice before. I will give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the challenge so much.
Thank you very much.
But Clement Freud was interrupted, so he keeps the subject. Here's the point for that. He has 6 seconds to continue on St. Andrews, starting now.
Peter Jones believes that St. Andrew was the patron saint of Russia, and he is absolutely...
Whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Clement Freud, and naturally, he's in the lead at the end of that round. Tony Hawks, would you take the next round? The subject is chatting up. I'm sure the student body here would like to hear from an experienced man like you on that subject, so regale us for Just a Minute, if you can, starting now.
I'll tell you someone who must be an expert in the field of chatting up, and that is the assistant to a window cleaner who has to stand at the bottom of the ladder holding it steady because all day he is chatting up. Now, it is no surprise to me that I've been asked to talk on this subject. Obviously, my reputation as something of a latter-day Casanova goes before me. There is an expression, there are three ways to tell if a man is a good lover. The first is a poor memory, and, you know, I've completely forgotten what the other two are. My favorite method of chatting up is to go up to a young lady at a party and say, excuse me, but do you know what the capital of Poland is?
Fred Macaulay challenge.
The deviation, because Tony Hawks doesn't say that to young ladies at parties. He's asked me that before.
Well, it was obviously a very, very good drink at that party, though.
You can chat somebody up of your own sex. You want to get into conversation? You might want to get to a
deal. Speak for yourself.
All right, fine. No, Tony. A very good attempt, Fred. I'm sorry, I disagree with the challenge, so Tony gets a point for that. He keeps the subject chatting up. 13 seconds are still available, starting now.
And they, like Fred was, will be enchanted by this simple question.
A Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of question.
Yes, because you asked the question before. So, repetition of questions, 7 seconds still available, and it's chatting up with you now, Clement, starting now.
Does your mother take in washing? Has she sold her mangle? What's become of the old piano your sister used to strangle? Has your father plenty of work?
Clement Freud was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, has increased his lead, and the other three are equal in second place. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject, a good dodge. Can you tell us something about a good dodge in just a minute, starting now?
Well, my father-in-law was American, used to have a very good dodge, which he drove around all over Los Angeles, and it had big wings at the side. And was a gas guzzler, of course. It used an enormous amount of petrol and went very fast. And the springing was quite unlike the European cars of that time, or even the ones from the Far East, which hardly existed, of course, at this period that I'm speaking of. Now, this Dodge, which he had no name for it, it had kind of things like portholes at the side of the bonnet, which were just purely decorative, I don't think they served any useful purpose. But one went for long trips right through Arizona, and we actually went to as far as Reno on one occasion, which was a delightful experience and would not have been the same had we been in any other make of car, because the springing added to the general excitement. And then when we arrived... What the matter? What time is it?
Well, Peter, you only kept going for 60 seconds. You went on for 70 seconds, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Well, amazing. Peter, yeah. When you said, what time is it? I think it was about 1939, wasn't it?
Right. Yes.
So you not only get a point for speaking as a whistle-wind, Peter, but you also, in this game, get a bonus point for not being interrupted throughout the 60 seconds. So, Fred, your turn to begin the subject, a boogie. You can take that many different ways, you know. Anyway, you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Well, as you've said, Nicholas, there aren't many ways that you can interpret the word bogey. I think I'll discuss, first of all, the golfing term, which is when you see a player on the fairway, maybe hoping to go on the green with his iron shot, he'll fire it through and the club flies into the rough, all because he's had a bogey on the end of his fingers, which affects your grip. The other type of bogey in Scotland is the trailer that people put on the back of their tractors for carrying many kinds of things around the countryside, turnips, maybe potatoes, lots of other kinds of vegetables that are grown here in St. Andrews area. Of course, there is the actual term used in golfing, the bogey, which is one over par, as most of the people here know, and...
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was a hesitation. You did so well.
About 14 seconds ago. Thanks very much, Clement.
You went for 48 seconds. 48 seconds. Anyway, Clement, you have a correct challenge. Another point to you. 12 seconds are left for a bogey, starting now.
A bogey is the sort of name that was given to Humphrey Bogart, the famous actor.
Tony Hawk's challenge.
Wouldn't have been A bogey, it would have been H bogey.
A subtle but correct challenge, yes. He was known as Bogey, not A bogey. Oh, man. 5 seconds for you, Tony, on bogey. On A bogey, starting now.
A bogey means you've scored one over par. A double bogey means that you need to blow your nose.
So, Tony Hawk speaking as the whistle-wing gained an extra point. He's equal to Fred Macaulay in second place. Our lead is still Clement Freud, and it is his turn to begin. Clement, the subject now, poker. I'm sure you're a good poker player, but tell us something about the game in just a minute, if you can, starting now.
Little Willie in his bright blue sashes fell in the fire and was burnt to ashes. Now the room is cold and chilly. No one wants to poke poor... Well, I can't repeat the name again. But a poker is an implement with which you disturb the coals or wood on a fire in order to create more warmth for the people within sight of that furnace. A poker is also an implement with which you can hit people or even golf balls. And at St. Andrews, it is no longer encouraged because there are the number one, two, and three woods, a certain...
challenges.
Hesitation.
Oh, definitely. I think he was getting utterly confused and run down, but struggling nobly. Peter, you've got in with 18 seconds on poker, starting now.
Well, a red-hot poker is a very useful thing to immerse into a glass of beer, or better still, a tankard, perhaps of stout or bass, something of that kind. And it's supposed to be very healthy because some of the iron comes off into the liquid.
Visions of the student body bringing red-hot pokers into the bar here, the Students' Union, and shoving them in their drinks and seeing the potent effect of it. Peter, you kept going till the whistle went, gained an extra point. You're now equal with Tony Hawks and Fred McCauley in second place. Clement Freud's still in the lead, and Tony, it's your turn to begin. The subject, an oasis. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
Many years ago, I was leading an expedition of intrepid explorers across the Sahara. And on day two, we ran into some difficulties. We were completely unable to flag down a taxi. When we did get one, he wouldn't take us, saying, "I'm not going south of the oasis at this time of night." An oasis, of course, is a fertile place where you'll find water in a desert. It's also used metaphorically, talking about a bright event amongst gloominess. And this happened to me recently. I was reading Hello magazine, and I stumbled across Nicholas Parsons celebrating his 50th year in show business. And this was an oasis amongst some of the mum. Doesn't matter what I'm saying. Nobody's listening. They're still applauding what I said.
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
I didn't hear what he said anyway.
He said no one was listening and I was listening.
I have to ask you, because of the audience reaction to your remarks, did you actually hesitate, Tony?
No, but I did deviate, which is what he just said.
Oh, I see. I thought he said hesitation. Right. All right, then. Very honest of you, Tony. 9 seconds for you on an oasis. Clement, starting now.
After 50 years in show business, an oasis is probably the very best way to go. I mean, to be taken into the Gobi Desert.
Clement Freud, you've increased your lead at the end of that round. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject, humbug. Tell us something about that in this game, if you can, starting now.
Well, a humbug is a very tiresome, irritating chap who misinterprets rules and laws and causes a lot of trouble for other people. Humbuggery is very prevalent in this country, though many of the humbugs that I've met have got soft centres, like their namesake, the dessert sweet, which is pillow-shaped and smells of peppermint and tastes of it very often. Humbugs.
Tony Hawk's challenge.
Well, I thought he sort of ground to a halt there, really. Hesitation?
I think he did. I know he was carried away with his humbugs. 28 seconds available for humbug with you, Tony, starting now.
How delighted I was to hear Peter Jones use the word humbuggery not long ago. As far as I can say, on Radio 4, I haven't heard that enough.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of heard.
Yes, you did. Yeah. He heard it from Peter Jones and he heard it on Radio 4. 19 seconds, Clement. Humbug starting now.
A person who commits humbuggery would be called a humbugger. A man, a pederast with a speech impediment. And I thought that would get a laugh.
Tony Hawk's a challenge.
Well, I think you hesitated because you thought that would get a laugh.
Yes. You're right, but he doesn't get a point. You get the point and you get the subject, and there's 7 seconds on humbug starting now.
A humbugger is something that you eat when you're extraordinarily hungry. Now, that doesn't deserve to get a list.
So Tony Hawks, with extra points, including one as the whistle went, is moving forward, and he is now only 3 points behind our leader, Clement Freud. Fred McCauley, Peter Jones are training behind him, and Fred begins the next round. Fred, very apt for the student body here, studies. You were at university. Tell me something about your studies in this game, starting now.
It would take me 4 years to tell you about my studies, but we're fortunate to be here in St. Andrews, where even as I speak, some of the students are taking notes because they find this more interesting than whatever subject they are, particularly spending their time avoiding during term, whether it's philosophy, psychology, maths, physics, chemistry, some other science subject, biology perhaps, languages, for example, English, French, Spanish, German, I don't know, Serbo-Croatian, Russian, Latin or Greek, the classics as they're known, medicine perhaps, dentistry, engineering, for goodness sake, there's no...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
There's no school of dentistry at St. Andrews.
There's obviously a faculty of pedantry.
There's no school of dentistry, but he could have been studying medicine first with the idea of becoming a dentist later. To give you the benefit of the doubt, Clement, 19 seconds, studies with you starting now.
Studies is where people study. They tend to be rooms with a desk.
Obviously,
I've said enough.
With a desk, but nowhere to sit. Peter, you challenge first.
Yes.
Studies is with you, starting now.
Well, there are brown studies and nude studies. And there are studies in contemplation and landscape.
Fred, challenge.
The recurrence of the word air again. I think yeah. Hesitation.
Very long there. You cleverly got in, Fred, with 1 second to go on studies. Starting now.
Accountant.
Someone challenge. Clement. Yes, Clement.
I thought hesitation.
he was halfway through the word accountancy, the one subject he hadn't mentioned up to then. So no, an incorrect challenge, and you have half a second, Fred, on studies starting now. Oh. So, Fred McCauley has got a lot of points of that round. He's now equal to Tony Hawks in second place, just behind our leader, Clement Freud, and Peter Jones in third place. Summer balls is the next subject. And will you talk about them, Clement? It's your turn, starting now.
William O'Hagan Macduff Summer Balls was probably one of the least known reserve Hearts of Midlothian players in the immediate pre-war period, when the aforementioned Scottish football team still played the W plan, wherein the two wing forwards and the centre produce the...
Tony Hawk's challenge, while Clement Freud was actually demonstrating to the audience, which is not the best kind of radio. Your challenge, Tony.
Yes, I think it was a hesitation.
Definitely. 36 seconds. Summer balls is with you, Tony. Starting now.
As soon as we put the clocks back, I dispense with my summer balls and replace them with my winter ones. This is a much better way of facing the cold period. When I was a student, I was invited to many magnificent summer balls. How splendid it was to see the young ladies there, to rush up, ask them what the capital of Poland was, and take it from there, Berlin. Sometimes I'd take any other capital. Those were the way things went. But
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of capital.
Yeah, there were too many capitals there, but obviously it was a capital idea you had. 10 seconds, Clement. You grab at every chance in this game, I can tell you. 10 seconds, summer balls with you, Clement, starting now.
At Oxford and Cambridge, these are called commemoration and May. But if you come north of the border, they boo when you mention the university.
Perhaps I should explain to our listeners, especially as we have so many abroad, that the ancient Scottish University of St. Andrews is only a few years younger than the two ancient English universities, and there's a great natural rivalry, but we know which is the superior because we visited them today. And we haven't even had an invitation from the other two. And we certainly won't get one now. So Clement Freud has increased his lead at the end of that round. Tony Hawks, your turn to begin. The subject, getting plastered. Right. Oh, that's what you do up here, is it? Well, 60 seconds as usual, Tony, starting now.
Why is it that packets of cigarettes are accompanied with cautionary messages like smoking can damage your health, whereas alcohol has nothing? There should be a little sign on saying this lager might cause you to pick on someone much bigger than you. Or drinking this bottle of whiskey will give you a thunderously bad headache, because that is what getting plastered means today. It means getting drunk, like starting an evening like Tony Blair and ending it like Boris Yeltsin. The last time I got plastered myself was at Nicholas Parsons' 50th anniversary in show business. It was a marvellous affair. I know I keep wanting to talk about it, but I can't tell you how magnificent it was to see him beaming away, not looking a day over 80. He was tremendous. And I was drunk, so drunk they had to...
Oh, yeah. Yes, I know. Is it a pity? It was going so well. Clement, you challenge. Repetition, 8 seconds. Getting plastered. Fred, you challenge.
Yeah, just before Clement starts, am I the only one that wasn't invited to this 50th?
A lot of invitations went out. Some must have got lost to Fred. I will have a special party for you later. That's what we're
doing. Look forward to it.
8 seconds, getting plastered with you, Clement, starting now.
I quite enjoy getting plastered on Glenmorangie whiskey, which in the South is pronounced Morangie, whereas it should have got the orangey.
Clement Freud was again speaking as a whistle-wing, gained an extra point, and has increased his lead at the end of that round. Quite a commanding lead he has now, as Peter Jones takes up the challenge with the next subject. It's sirens, Peter. Tell us something about those in this game, starting now.
Well, I think of those mythical creatures, rather like mermaids in a way. They're women who sing and lure sailors who are probably desperate for sex of some kind to follow them, and they consequently drown. Now, what these creatures, I mean the sirens, have, what their object is, I don't really know. I've never... Why don't they want to go any further than that? But they don't seem to. And, of course, there's the air raid sirens, which are quite different altogether. And they signal the arrival of enemy aircraft overhead, and you're supposed to rush down into the underground or the cellar or whatever you've got, Anderson's shelter. And then, if you have any luck at all, you meet a siren down there. And then...
Tony Hawks has managed to help you, I think.
Well, I thought I'd just help him out there. Yeah. He just seemed to be
you
struggling.
You should have kept going for another 2 seconds, Peter.
That all?
That's all. You'd have had 60 seconds.
I'll repeat something, Peter, and you can get back in again.
Really? What? 2 seconds, Tony, starting now. Sirens.
Peter.
Peter. Yes. You challenged Peter.
He did.
My God, you were quick off the mark there, Peter. 1 second, Peter, on silence, starting now.
Don't listen to them.
So, Peter has moved dramatically forward in that last round. He's still in fourth place, but he's only 1 point behind Fred Macaulay, who's only 1 point behind Tony Hawks, who are a few points behind our leader, who's still Clement Freud. And Fred Macaulay, your turn to begin. The subject, tourists. Get quite a lot of them up in St. Andrews, because they've got the golf, they've got this beautiful place, and because the students, of course, they recognize them, and they trip them up as they go past them. Tourists, 60 seconds, Fred, if you can, starting now.
Well, if I was Tony Hawks, I'd probably say something like, tourists are the things I have at the end of my arms to stop my hands flying off. But as you can tell from the reaction we got from our lovely audience here when we mentioned the word, we don't like them very much. They're complete bloody pains in the necks, apparently. People that come here, they're no more than the lifeblood of the economy, but we don't want them. We give them the traditional St. Andrews welcome when they turn up at our bed and breakfast. What do you want? Why can't you do it someplace else? But I suppose since you've come here, you might as well stay anyway. I've been a tourist before, but that was someplace else. I can't really remember.
Peter challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, Peter, there was a hesitation. 20 seconds are still available for you, and it is still tourists starting now.
Very few people actually admit to being tourists themselves, I've noticed, when traveling. They prefer to think of themselves as travelers, because it's all these other masses of people who are touring, and they usually subscribe to some big organization like Pontins or something like that. And they're...
Peter Jones, speaking as a whistle wind, gained that all-important extra point and has moved forward from fourth to third place. He's just overtaken Fred McCauley. Tony Hawks is 1 point ahead. And unfortunately, I've just discovered we have no more time to play Just a Minute. But I know, I tell you what, I've got a marvellous idea. I think we should come back to St. Andrews and do another recording here. And now you've got the first warning, why don't you go out and get the first seats for that recording? Way ahead of those three in the lead was Clement Freud. So with most points, we say, Clement, you are the winner this week. And in just a minute... It's not so much the points, it's the contribution. I want to thank all four of them. The marvellous contribution, Clement Freud, Tony Hawks, Peter Jones, Fred McCauley. We want to thank our audience who've come, given up time from studying and drinking, to come into the Student Union and enjoy this recording of Just a Minute. I want to thank Elaine Wigley for keeping the score, blowing her whistle so delicately after the 60 seconds. Also, Ian Messiter, who created the game, keeps us in work. And also, Anne Jobson, our producer and director, who does such a marvellous job trying to keep us in order. But from all of us here, until we all go on the air again to play Just a Minute, thank you and goodbye.
And at the same time next week, the Just a Minute team will be Clement Freud, Peter Jones, Paul Merton, and Derek Nimmo.